Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by Corporate Capital Direct. Listen, banks are not lending, and the online lenders may not tell you all you need to hear to make the right decision for your company needs. Get the inside edge for business financing. Whether you have capital needs for inventory, payroll, general operating expenses, or even to consolidate expensive debt or tax issues, Corporate Capital Direct can help you avoid common mistakes when seeking a capital solution for your business. Never upfront fees. Get the inside edge for your business financing needs. Call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com. Again, call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com.
Welcome to Legal News and Review, recipient of the Florida Bar Award of Excellence, and featuring Michael Santucci, co-chair of the Intellectual Property Division of the Broward Bar. From the law firm of Santucci Priori, practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Legal News and Review, the only real problem solver radio program using the law, with your moderator, Philip Bell, and hosts and legal panel attorney, Gary Singer, chair of the Broward County Bar Association's Real Property Section. Gary Singer is board certified in real estate law and a syndicated columnist from the Sun Sentinel. He is an expert in his field of practice. Ooh. Now, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
On the docket for today's broadcast, as the song goes, breaking up is hard to do. And in Florida, it has some unique aspects when it comes to family law, which includes divorce. Recently, the Senate and the House in Florida legislature has bills which, if passed, would establish the standard for voluntary time-sharing agreement. Parents can enter into it at the time the party signs on to pay child support, thus allowing parties to avoid taking such decisions before the circuit court judges. But the family law section of the Florida Bar, which maintains child time-sharing issues, are unique to the child and should not be addressed as one-size-fits-all, but instead on a case-by-case basis in the courts. Today, addressing this and other issues regarding family law, from the law firm of Mitchell and West is Spencer West, who specializes in the area of family law and licensed to practice in Florida and Massachusetts. I'd first like to introduce and welcome our legal panel host. Good afternoon, Gary Singer.
Mr. Bell, how are you today, sir?
It's another day in paradise.
That's only because you're hanging with me, buddy.
Yep. And filling in for Michael Santucci.
Filling the big two-shoes.
That's right. It's his daughter's birthday, and happy birthday to her.
And that's an excuse to miss a radio show?
I mean, really? His attorney, his partner, Joe Priori.
Good afternoon, Phil. Thanks for having me today.
Appreciate you filling in sincerely. And Gary Ostro will be back next week. As I said in the opening song, breaking up is hard to do. I'd like to welcome Spencer West, who specializes in family law and, again, is licensed to practice not only in the state of Florida but also Massachusetts. Good afternoon, Spencer.
Good afternoon.
Spencer, I'd like to welcome you to Legal News and Review. You have an interesting background, but before we begin this segment, I do want to thank you as your service as a veteran. You served our country in the U.S. Army for over 3 years. God bless you.
Thank you.
Cool. Yeah. It's people like you that gives us the right to have shows like this. As a matter of fact, they're showing me a picture of you right now.
No, that's me.
That's you?
Yeah, it's actually funny. I'm a veteran too. My wife dug up a picture of me when I was 18.
Wow, look at that.
Yeah, I know, right? I was skinny.
Great picture.
You're still skinny. You kept it going.
Yeah, it's a military look about him and the discipline, I'm sure. But Spencer, from alimony reform to time sharing of children, first, question is, what do you think about alimony reform? And currently in the state of Florida, how is alimony decided?
Well, the first one's a tough question because I'm going to alienate half my clientele and the other half will be cheering me on. But the reality is that alimony does need to be reformed. I know it comes up almost every time for a vote, and for various political reasons it doesn't pass. Usually it's because people are trying to add things on to the bill and, you know, things of that nature.
Well, last time they had the 50-50 time sharing and the governor.
Mandatory. Correct.
Yeah, mandatory.
Well, let me ask a question on alimony. We've had family law guests on before, and they always say, oh, men can get alimony too. But did they ever? I mean, really, in real life? Because it seems alimony seems, you know, to me, in rare cases, I definitely see a need for it, right?
Usually,
but usually it seems very sexist.
Usually when I've represented male clients who ask for alimony, it's for leverage purposes as opposed to the actual hope that they get alimony for various reasons. Sometimes they just, you know, the perception is that they don't want to go before a judge and, you know, claim that they deserve alimony. But again, I have, you know, several male clients that have asked for alimony, and certainly under the law they're entitled to it, but it is somewhat of a still a sexist system.
I believe in equal rights for men and women. But do the women act the same way when they're put forth an alimony request?
Sexist a little, Phil.
Right?
I could tell some stories, but
one of our producers giving you dirty looks on that one.
the reality is that a lot of men are very hesitant when it comes down to the final day in court. If it goes to trial, and I've never seen a case where a man's asking for alimony that ever settles in mediation. It's just there's no, I'm not being sexist, but I've never seen a woman voluntarily say, I'm going to pay you alimony. So being that as it may, when you get into court for a trial, usually that claim ends up going by the wayside before.
It should be just
there.
A special remedy. They should have made the rules. It's a special remedy for, you know, extreme circumstances, because there are a few circumstances that would be fair, but otherwise it should be off the table.
But alimony reform.
No, they can stand.
I know, but alimony reform, it's not just here in the state of Florida. We had, if you recall, Ronald Bell on regarding family law in Illinois, and they just recently passed a law regarding how it's calculated. So how is alimony in the state of Florida decided?
Unfortunately, there's no exact provision. Like, for instance, if you came to my office and you told me what your net income was and your wife's net income, I could tell you almost to the penny what you're going to pay for child support as long as we knew what your time-sharing plan would be. But when it comes to alimony, they look at the financial need of the one side, which almost anybody has a financial need to maintain the lifestyle that they're accustomed to, and then they look at the financial ability of the other side. So, you know, basically you have to have somewhat of a disparity in income, because if you're making about the same, there's not going to be, you know, any claim for alimony. But if there's a disparity in income, you're looking at looking at what we can do to try to bring the parties equal and be able to maintain the lifestyle that they were accustomed to. So unfortunately, there's no exact formula, and that's one of the things that needs to be reformed.
Have you heard of any cases of alimony in same-sex divorce?
I have not personally, but I'm sure that's coming down the pike.
I mean, if it's available, it would be available in that situation. And that's interesting, because there would be no gender bias, you know, that, you know, I maintain exists, unfortunately, in our system. In that case, I'd be really curious to see what happens there.
Well, huh? You know, people do know about gay marriage. It's been in the news for quite some time. Same sex, but I call it gay marriage. I don't think it's not being politically correct. But what about the gay divorce?
What do you think, man? Is that politically correct? Can we get the panel on it?
I'll stay out of that.
There you go.
All right.
I got the dump button, so he knows that. But in all seriousness, the gay divorce, you know, if there's children that are involved, Spencer, and those children that are involved are not biological or may not be biological, and maybe they did not have, an adoption, like an adoption of a stepchild. How's that handled? Is there any difference when it comes to gay divorce when there's children that are not biological?
Well, in any same-sex marriage, or you're going to have a situation where one child is potentially biological to the one party and won't be to the other party. So that's always going to be an issue. But as long as that child's born of the marriage, the law is supposed to treat it exactly as any other child born of any other marriage. So
that would apply just like any other marriage, that the child would be the biological child of both parents as long as it was the child was born during the marriage, right?
Correct, but it's a common question. Anytime I get a call from somebody seeking advice on the same-sex divorce, it's always usually the number one question that's asked.
I bet. I'd be concerned, too, in that case. Yeah,
Has that become a bit of a specialty in your practice area, or are you seeing it more and more?
I wouldn't call it a specialty, but certainly the calls that we get, you know, inquiring about same-sex divorce, the issue, if there's children involved, that's always the first question asked. There's with no exceptions. And
disparate sex divorce?
Usually not, no.
But one of the trends that we discussed, which is called in some areas of the country silver, divorce or the gray divorce. These are people that have been married 20 years or more. Those are more complex because the financial
issues. Now you're going to ageism, Phil?
Yeah.
Jeez, man. I get sued.
Well, I've got an attorney to protect me here, but
Gary's not in today.
But in all seriousness, have you noticed that trend? These people have been married 20 years or more, and now they're getting a divorce.
I've noticed it quite often. It's becoming more and more common where I'll have long-term marriages. I've had up to 40-year marriages that have, you know, ended in divorce. And, you know, it's one of those, it's more common than it used to be. I won't say it's the most common, but a lot of times when you have kids that are grown and they go off to college, you have, I guess, two people that look at each other and realize that.
What do we have in common now?
They may like each other, but they don't love each other any longer, and it's time to end that marriage. After
well,
they all
become more like roommates is what I've read.
Correct.
I remember seeing one of those. I got to bring this up because every time I hear this, I think of it. It was one of those like little comic strips, and they just got a divorce, and the friend said, "Why are you getting up when they're old?" Obviously, yeah. Well, we were waiting for the kids to die. They got a divorce. It was hilarious. I'll never forget that. So, is this like? I understand. Do you think it's going to sound like a bit of a wacky question? But do you think like some of these medications that allow an older person to have an active sex life have played into there being more divorced?
I know for a fact that that's the case because okay. I've had many
so it wasn't wacky.
Many breakups in the marriage for you know older you know
infidelity.
Older people getting married you know divorced. You know, infidelity is not the most common reason for divorce, but I have seen it more and more with these long-term marriages ending in divorce. And I can say firsthand with you know that is one of the that is more common than you think.
Wow, yeah, that's crazy.
Huh. Well, when it comes to divorce in Florida,
there's hope for you yet, Phil.
I know this is true. as I said, breaking up is hard to do, and when you have money involved, that changes people. You know, whether it has to do about divorce, wills, trusts, and estates, whenever there's money involved, things do get complicated, emotions and attitudes. And Florida is the 15th state in the nation to adopt a version of what's called the Collaborative Law Process Act. Can you explain to our audience what collaborative law is, and do you have an opinion on it?
I do. I can explain what it is, and I do have an opinion on it. Collaborative divorce is meant where parties who are interested in not litigating their case, they're supposed to come to the bargaining table with, you know, in good faith to try to resolve the case without litigating. In other words, they can argue back and forth over the table about terms and things of that nature, but they both have the same common goal to walk out of there with a signed agreement. The process works now where each party, if they choose to go with counsel, would each have their own attorney that has agreed to take the case on a collaborative divorce, you know, type agreement.
Right.
And the pro of that is that if it works, then you save a lot of money in litigation costs and, you know, the heartache that comes with months and months of litigation. The con of it or the bad part about it is if you don't settle, if one side comes to the table not really looking to, you know, negotiate that day, both sides cannot use that same attorney. So in other words, the attorney that you've invested a month or two with, you know, preparing and going through things, if you feel comfortable with that attorney, you can no longer go with that attorney if the collaborative divorce process doesn't work.
So, you know, one of the things, do we need to take a break now or can I get my question? Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to ask you with how do you as a practitioner, don't answer yet, how do you as a practitioner deal with the high emotions that are involved in divorce cases?
Yeah, you see people, best people at their worst.
Yes, I do want to hear about that because that's why I avoid that area of law because I can't deal with that well. And every time I get into it, like as a collateral issue of mine, it's like, oh my gosh, how do you do this day in and day out? I want to hear about that, but we're going to have to do that after we do a little station identification. And on that note, Phil, I believe we'll be right back.
You bet.
Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by Corporate Capital Direct. Listen, banks are not lending, and the online lenders may not tell you all you need to hear to make the right decision for your company needs. Get the inside edge for business financing. Whether you have capital needs for inventory, payroll, general operating expenses, or even to consolidate expensive debt or tax issues, Corporate Capital Direct can help you avoid common mistakes when seeking a capital solution for your business. Never upfront fees. Get the inside edge for your business financing needs. Call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com. Again, call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com.
Welcome back to Legal News and Review. Recipient of the Award of Excellence from the Florida Bar, featuring Michael Santucci of the law firm Santucci Priori, practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Reach them at 500law.com or 954-351-7474. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go online to belegalbuzz.com. Once again, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
Legal News and Review is back on the air. We're speaking with Spencer West from the law firm of Mitchell & West. He focuses his practice on family law. And I believe, Gary, you were...
Yeah, I just want to know how you... I mean, these things run so emotionally charged. How do you... We always ask like about that, but I want to know about you as the attorney. What do you do to deal with this level of anxiety and stress that these your clients are and the other side are dealing with? I mean, besides probably lock your doors at night.
That's why I'm so thin. I run so much. So instead of that's the only way I can...
You burn it off?
I burn it off because it would be either that or some destructive type activity. Because it is extremely emotional. It's extremely stressful. They say divorce lawyers, I don't know if it's true, but divorce lawyers amongst lawyers are the least likely to get divorced. So
they don't want to deal with it.
You go home and hug your family and realize.
I don't know how you do. I mean, I
grateful what you
I,
have.
I bump into it a little bit to the side, and it's just crazy emotions. I have a lot of respect for you just being able to deal with that.
Calls and texts at Thanksgiving and Christmas Day and everything else involving children, and it's an emotional area.
I think it takes a special type of lawyer to be able to deal with that and still function.
Spencer, before the break, we were talking about collaborative divorce. How's that different from mediation?
It's about the same thing, other than the fact that it happens a lot earlier. So it would be the equivalent of having mediation right before you even file the case. In other words, you know that you're going to get divorced. You and your wife have talked about it, and you are ready to pull the trigger, but you want to try to sit down and mediate the case. The only difference is that unlike, and people do that, I've mediated cases before the divorce is even filed, we've settled and done it that way, but it wasn't a collaborative divorce in the legal sense of the word, because in the legal sense of the word, if that process doesn't work and you go through that mediation, because it is mediation, that's essentially exactly what it is, but if that process doesn't work, again, that person can no longer use the lawyer that they hired and, assumingly felt comfortable with. They have to go out and hire a new lawyer to litigate the case.
So there's a financial toll, isn't it? Some of our guests have told us there's also like a psychological practitioner involved typically in a collaborative divorce, or is that not the case?
Well, yes, and I think the other issue too is from on my standpoint, when we looking at it from a litigation standpoint and leverage, when you go through a collaborative divorce process and it doesn't work, because oftentimes that's when people will come see me, when it actually didn't work.
So you don't do that.
I do it, although it's not that I don't believe in the process, but I think it takes this a special, I have to be convinced that both sides are in it for the same reasons. If both sides are in it for the same reasons, then it's worth doing.
Gotcha.
And it can save you money. But if both sides aren't in it for the same reasons, there's.
So as I stated, not one size fits all.
Not one size fits all.
You're the right tool for the right. So you're more of a bulldog. Right.
Is there a neutral involved in both processes?
There is, but again, is anyone ever neutral? So I mean, if somebody comes to see you as a lawyer and your goal is to make sure that you're counseling them correctly and if telling them whether you think it's a good deal or not a good deal. So I don't, it's not neutral in the same sense of having a mediator. Oh, you're talking about whether there's a mediator neutral.
Exactly, yes. Right. Do you bring a mediator in?
You don't have to, but to me, having a mediator involve someone that's a professional in dealing with going back and forth helps, but you don't have to have it.
So even for the collaborative process, you sometimes bring in a neutral?
Correct.
Okay.
You don't have to. Same with mediation. You don't.
Sure.
You can actually do informal mediations during litigation, but just with the lawyers and not use a mediator.
You know, there's a joke, you know, like all divorces go on to the parties run out of money and then they magically settle. But, you know, what can people do to make that not happen? Like, how do people, you know, not get rolled over but also cooperate with the process? How can that happen?
I think that both – it's always good to have a conversation with your spouse prior to getting there. It's not always easy, but especially for the long-term marriages, like the silver marriages. These are people that have known each other probably as long as they've known their own parents. And they've been together for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if the marriage is over and they both agree on that, then it's worth at least going through what their finances are, what they spend in the marriage. Treat it more like a business at that point because there's no children. The emotions are over in terms of the children. And you can treat it more as, what does it cost to run our household? What are you going to need to get on with your life? What am I going to need, you know, before you even go and see a lawyer? Because, there tends to be, once litigation starts, a lack of trust. That person you trusted for 25 years, all of a sudden you think they're out to screw you, or on the other side that she's out to screw me or something to that effect.
How much in the real world is that driven by the attorney they choose versus the spouse themselves? I know in my world, sometimes you get the wrong attorney. It's a big fight when it didn't have to be.
A lot of cases I find, and they call them sharks or whatever, but a lot of cases that I find could easily settle if both attorneys kind of had the same goal of getting their clients on with their life. But
in your world, is there a lot of attorneys that don't want to settle?
I think there's a lot of attorneys that don't want to settle.
Yeah, I was going to say, all throughout the country.
Yeah, no, I know in my world it happens.
There's a big financial aspect to it too, because remember, when it comes to family law, if you have one side that, you know, for instance, somebody represents a thoracic surgeon, and that thoracic surgeon makes close to $1 million a year, and the other person's a stay-at-home wife, the lawyer basically has carte blanche on running the fees up to get paid more. Now, that's not to say there's not merit to, you know, fighting for everything
sure.
they can with their client, but on the other hand, there's a limit to everything.
Very important. Florida is one of the states that has no fault.
Correct.
Now, in the news you hear about, especially the high-end couples, where there's domestic violence or infidelity and so forth, and while there's certain issues when it comes to, like, infidelity, if you have a mistress and money, no fault means just that, no fault?
It usually does. I mean, that's what it depends. Like you said, there's exceptions to every rule. So, for instance, the old-fashioned affair. If there's dissipation of marital assets, that can come in terms of, you know, because normally the court's not interested in hearing about all the extramarital things going on if it has nothing to do with the, you know, it's a court of equity. That's, you know, besides when you take the children out of it, it's just a court of equity. The court is supposed to determine who gets what, why, and move on. But when it comes to things like extramarital affairs or gambling habits or things that are, you know, maybe legal but not really in the realm of a marriage, those are the types of things that do come into play with the court as opposed to the quote-unquote no fault.
Your Honor, you watch reality TV.
What's a quick answer, because we're very limited in time? Florida's a transient state. Can I relocate with my children out of state before or actually during the divorce?
The short answer is no. The longer answer is maybe, because what happens is, and this comes up all the time, especially my main office is in Miami, and it's one of the most common areas of practice where you have parents that just want to relocate either before the divorce is filed or right when the divorce is about to be filed, or a paternity case where they're not married but have kids together, and you have to get permission in writing from the other side to move, and usually that's not going to happen. In rare circumstances it does. In the event that that doesn't happen, you have to get court approval. If you don't, then the court can order you to come back to the state or to the jurisdiction.
And because you're in Miami, you also you have people in your office that are very very able.
Bilingual, Phil.
Bilingual. Thank you.
We have
you have two offices, though, right?
We do. We have an office in Fort Lauderdale right off of Andrews, and we have an office in Coral Gables.
We never have enough time, Spencer. It's very interesting. If one of our listeners wanted to get more information, how would they get a hold of you?
Sure. They can call our office at 305-447-1333, where we have a website, mitchellandwest.com, and they can find us in our reviews.
M-I-T-C-H, right?
M-I-T-C-H-E-L-L and the word and, and then west.com.
Excellent. Well, very good. It's very interesting. I actually learned some stuff today. It's always interesting to hear how the other parts of the law world do. And now,
and real quick, you handle military divorces as well.
We handle a lot of military divorces.
That makes it very unique.
Yeah, very, very good stuff. Good attorney. And definitely, listeners, if they need something, call you. I'll probably have a couple questions. I'll give you a call about for a case I have going on. I want to thank you for being here, and I want to thank everyone. Thank you very much. And unfortunately, I want to thank our listeners, and we're out of time, and I want to remind them out there as they're driving around South Florida land, be legal.
You've been listening to the award-winning Legal News and Review, recognized by the Florida Bar's Award of Excellence. Legal News and Review, featuring Michael Santucci from the law firm of Santucci Priori, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale, and practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation. They can be reached at 500law.com or at 954-351-7474. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go to BeLegalBuzz.com. And to reach Gary Singer, board-certified real estate and syndicated columnist, appearing in 400 media outlets, including the front page of the Money Section every Monday in the Sun Sentinel, from the law firm of Gary M. Singer, PA, call 954-851-1448 for legal news and review. Remember, be legal.
Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by Corporate Capital Direct. Listen, banks are not lending, and the online lenders may not tell you all you need to hear to make the right decision for your company needs. Get the inside edge for business financing. Whether you have capital needs for inventory, payroll, general operating expenses, or even to consolidate expensive debt or tax issues, Corporate Capital Direct can help you avoid common mistakes when seeking a capital solution for your business. Never upfront fees. Get the inside edge for your business financing needs. Call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com. Again, call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com.